Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, that You truly do relieve us of our fear. And we thank You, Lord, that as we abide in You, as we live our lives connected to You, united to You, Lord, that You push back the darkness. You bring us into the light. You change us. You transform us. You give us new life, new hope, and that You give us, Lord, hope and peace and joy in a world filled with troubles and struggles. Thank You, Lord, for these who've shared with us tonight. Let us in worship and praise. You alone are worthy of our praise. So we honor You, Lord Jesus, today for all that You have done for us, that we might have life and hope and peace. So, Lord, tonight as we come to this time, we bring ourselves before You after a hard day of work and other kinds of activities. And so we all come confessing many distractions tonight. We all come with many things, cares and worries and troubles. And how I pray, Lord, that all of our cares and troubles and our worries will not choke out the Word of God as we hear it tonight, and that we might hear Your Word and be doers of Your Word. Help us tonight as we reflect and evaluate on our own personal spiritual lives, that we might evaluate our own fruitfulness, that we might think about and evaluate what it is that comes from our mouth and from our actions. And we pray, Lord, that You would bless our time in Your Word. And we thank You for the opportunities, these opportunities, every single one of them. We thank You for them. We know they won't be forever, and we thank You for them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, good evening. Good to see you on VBS Wednesday. And if you did not get an outline, there's some in the back. You might want to go back and pick one up if you want to follow along. I've tried to give you some notes. I want you to turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And then I also want you to find Psalm 92. And we'll start in Psalm 92. Tonight I want to talk to you about spiritual fruitfulness. We've been talking in these last few weeks about the importance of living a holy life, a life of holiness before the Lord. And what does it look like to live in holiness? Well, another way to describe that is to describe fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is all through God's Word. And when we think about fruitfulness, there is this whole massive amount of biblical instruction about how fruit is the expression of what's on the inside of all of us. It's the expression of what's inside, just like fruit on a tree. Psalm 92 is where I'd like for you to be first. This is a psalm that is dedicated as a song for the Sabbath day. As the Hebrews would practice Sabbath, this was a regular psalm for the Hebrews, for the Jewish people to read. I want to begin reading in verse number 10, "But You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox." Remember, horn poetic way of describing power. "You've given me power like that of a wild ox, and I have been anointed with fresh oil." That's what we have to have every day of our spiritual life in walking with Jesus. The fresh oil that comes from the Holy Spirit of God. "And my eye has looked exultantly upon my foes, and my ears hear of the evildoers who rise up against me." But then we come to this section I want you to see that will introduce and help us to think about spiritual fruitfulness. "The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age." Man, am I glad to hear that. How about some of you other old people in here? "They shall be full of sap and very green. Now let's look at the description of fruitfulness and growth. And that baby's not bothering. Is that baby bothering anybody in here? All right, don't worry about that baby. We're good. No better place to have that baby than right here. Now look at this description of fruit and growth. And this is important for us tonight, folks. This psalm helps us to see what we find parallels, and we'll look at them here through the scriptures I've given you from some other places about the importance of fruitfulness in our life. So the righteous man, the righteous person, the person who lives in righteousness, and we know more about how you become righteous than even these words in the Old Testament. We come to know the Lord Jesus. We're saved by grace through faith, and we receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ, a righteousness that we could not do on our own. Now read this. The righteous man will flourish. That's a great word. And you may have another word I'm reading from the New American Standard. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. Living in California for a number of years, it's an amazing thing to see the palm tree. We had a Seiko palm and several of them in our yard. And these trees, they just are able to endure. They flourish in the heat. They flourish throughout the year in that climate there, flourishing. All of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the picture of the righteous is one of flourishing like the palm tree. And then notice, growing like a cedar in Lebanon. So my son planted some trees not long ago, some cypress trees. They were already about 10 feet tall. And the nursery people told us when we planted them, you can expect those cypress to grow 2 feet around diameter and in height per year. 2 feet per year. 2 feet per year. Flourish. Look at these words. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. In all kinds of conditions, the palm tree flourishes and will grow like a cedar. So a palm and a cedar. A palm and a cedar. And in some other places in the Bible, we have the picture of the oak tree and the roots going down. But this picture I want you to see tonight is that of the palm tree and the cedar. Grows like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. And they will still yield. So first they're flourishing, they're growing, and then notice they're bringing about fruit. Some palm trees don't bring fruit until they're very old. They don't give fruit in the earliest of their age as a tree or plant. They will still yield fruit in old age, and they will be full of sap and very green. We know the picture of this. So tonight, my prayer is that you will be able to evaluate in your own life, just like I will try to evaluate in mine, and I've had a little advantage because I prepared today a little bit for this. I want you to be able to leave and say, how am I doing in my spiritual fruitfulness? What kind of fruit is coming from my life? Now, if you have the sheet with you, if you don't, John 15 is where we'll begin, and John 15 16, Jesus makes this statement. You did not choose me, speaking to his disciples now. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, flourishing like a palm tree and growing like a cedar tree and yielding fruit in old age. That's the picture. When we come to know Jesus Christ, we flourish, we grow as we find ourselves practicing the things we've talked about dying to ourselves, staying in God's Word, praying, practicing those kinds of works that the Lord would call us to do, all of these things, fellowshipping with God's people, associating with the godly, disassociating with the ungodly, separating ourselves from those things in the world that would pull us back to the old fleshly ways, growing, flourishing, yielding fruit. Flourishing, growing, yielding fruit. This is very important. This is the normal Christian life. So Jesus says, I have chosen you and appointed you. This wasn't just the first disciples. These words are for us as well. That you would go and bear fruit. So tonight I ask you as a fellow follower of Jesus, what condition is the fruit of your life? What condition? And what fruit remains in your life? This kind of fruit that we're talking about does not rot, does not decay. The fruits of working and serving the Lord, fruitfulness for God leads to eternal things. Leads to the blessings of God and what He wants to do. Now, let me just make some comments about some additional verses before I really spend some time in John 15. I want you to hear these other verses. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. What do we feed off of as God's people in righteousness? We feed off of the fruit of righteousness. It's a tree of life. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life that others can be blessed by. We are life-giving people. Have you ever been around people who are death-giving people? Yes, you have. You're acting like Baptists tonight. You don't want to respond. Yes, you have. You've been around death givers. You see them coming, and all that there is coming before you is death and destruction and despair and pain and agony and misery. But then you come around others and they bring with them life. And the Lord intended for us to be life givers. The fruit of righteousness, the fruit of being righteous, is a tree, not just one fruit. The fruit of righteousness, it's a tree of life. And he who is wise wins souls. And we'll talk more about fruitfulness as it relates to seeing people come to know Jesus. Ephesians 5:9 says, Paul says, for the fruit of the light. All right, now it's fruit of the light. Light is all around us, but what is the evidence? What comes as a result of the life-giving power that comes? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So when we come to be in the light and walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Okay, the fruit of the light consists, listen, are you listening? The fruit of light, walking in the light, living as a light-giving, life-giving person is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So here is this fruit of the light. Goodness. God is good all the time. And because we are His children, there comes to be in us a genuineness, a change, a goodness in us that we don't otherwise have. Righteousness and truth. Colossians 1:10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects. That means in our marriage, that means at our job, that means with our children, our grandchildren, that means in our friendships, that means in what we do at church. We walk in a manner to please the Lord in every respect. And notice how Paul describes this, Colossians 1:10. Bearing fruit, it's a present tense. Continuing to bear fruit in every good work. Here the description of fruitfulness has to do with the works that we do. Good works. And increasing in the knowledge of God. That is a fantastic verse. I would so recommend that you give some time to think about Colossians 1:10. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, church, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. James 3:17, one of my all-time favorites. This is James's parallel to the fruit of the Spirit, which we'll talk about in a minute. But the wisdom from above is pure and peaceable and gentle and reasonable and full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering without hypocrisy. This is what comes from above. This is what's given to us when we're born again. This is what's implanted in us as we're connected and united to Jesus Christ. Purity and peaceableness and gentleness, reasonableness. Oh, my soul, do we need to understand reasonableness in all our relationships, in our marriages, in our work, in all of our full of mercy, not full of hate, not full of anger, not full of bitterness, filled up with mercy and good fruits, filled with good fruits, unwavering without hypocrisy. Then we come to these very important words in Matthew 7 that came to us. They are some of the most important words. I would say this to you often. You know, the disciple life is described no better than in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Also in Luke's gospel, where Luke describes what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Those are the words for all of us who are disciples. They're the words by which we live. And Jesus said, "You will know them by their fruits." He's been talking about in that section, watch out for false teachers. They're like wolves in sheep clothing. He says, you will know them by their fruits. You'll know by the behavior and outcome of their life. The same is true for all of us, though. Therefore, he says, you'll know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? And the answer is, of course not. This is important, every good tree bears good fruit. But the bad tree bears bad fruit. The fruitfulness of my life, the evidence, the actions of my life, the character, the conduct, the work of my life reflects what's on the inside of me, whether it be good or bad, whether it be from God or otherwise. And a good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor a bad tree produce good fruit. I didn't give you this part of the verse, but Jesus says, you will know them by their what? I will be known by my fruit. You will be known by your fruit. It comes out of us. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We know these things. James warns us that when we're drawn away by our lusts, we're carried away into all kinds of temptation, we yield to it, and then we find ourselves back in that death cycle again. Romans 7, 4, therefore, my brethren, you were also made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order... Why were we raised from the dead? Look at this. This is very important. In order that, for the purpose that, we might bear fruit to God. This is our purpose. To be fruit bearers in the barren world in which we live. To be a tree of life to people as we come and tell them about how to have peace with God and how to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Reminds me of one of our men, he took the track. You know, we gave the tracks out a couple weeks ago on how to have peace with God. He works in a factory here in Dixon. And he went in he took the track, laid it in on in the room where all the men and women come and take their break. He said he put it there and laid it there and was busy doing things. And he came back by several times, hoping he'd see somebody reading it. Every time he came by, somebody had thrown the track on the floor. So he picked the track back up and put it back on. He'd go back and do his work. He'd come back, and there was the track thrown on the floor again. And he said, it doesn't matter how many times they throw it on the floor, I'm going to put it back on the table and pray that one day someone will pick it up, read it, and take it. Now, what am I saying by that? I'm simply saying that he's doing his best to be a fruit bearer, a life giver. And then Jesus says, and the one, this is very important, Matthew 13:23, when Jesus talks about hearing God's word, these things are so subtle and they're scattered throughout God's word, and it's hard to collect all these things, forgive the pun, in a basket, you know, but I mean, it's hard to collect all this about fruitfulness. It's all described in different ways. I'm going to try to do that by using John 15, very familiar to most of us here tonight. However, Jesus says, and let me read it first, and the one on whom seed was sown on good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100, some 60, some 30. So there is spiritual fruitfulness is tied to how we hear and respond to God's word. You remember in some of those soils, they were hard, you know, they were distracted, cares, worries. Think about it. If you do not feed your spiritual soul day by day with all of the pressure of the world and all of the difficulties that we face in our spiritual life, how easy it is for our fruitfulness to slow and to stop. So tonight I want to ask you, what is the condition of the spiritual fruit in your life? And for that, let's go and we'll read now in John 15 these very familiar words. Jesus said, John 15:1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. This word clean means pruned. It's the same Greek word as in verse number 2 when he talks about how the Heavenly Father prunes us, cuts us, disciplines us, cuts us. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it's connected, abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. Second time Jesus has said this. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. There's the promise. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this. What is it? What glorifies God? Look at it. That you bear much fruit. What is it that glorifies God? Our talents and our spiritual gifts? What is it that glorifies God? Our preaching and teaching the word? What is it that glorifies God? It's our fruitfulness. It's the evidence of the new life of Jesus coming out of us. Now go down to verse 16. Again, one more time. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. So tonight you have to inspect your fruit. You remember Jesus told the story of the landowner who came to the vineyard and saw one of the plants that was not producing. And he told the gardener, you remember he told the vineyard keeper, cut it down. Cut it down. It's not fruit bearing. Cut it down. And what did the gardener say? He appealed to the owner of the land. Give me one more year. Grace. Give me one more year. I'm gonna fertilize it. I'm gonna put manure around it. I'm gonna provoke these roots. I'm gonna stimulate them. and let's see if the fruit comes. So when we think about our own fruitfulness, what shows, what comes in our life? That's what I want us to give our time to. So look at some of the observations now from John 15. I've given them to you here on your sheet. The source of real life is Jesus. He's the vine. Branches, if you cut a branch off, you know what happens to the branches. All the farmers and gardeners around here, you cut your branches off, they just dry up. They have no source of life. They're not connected to the source of life. A branch is of no value. A branch comes out of the vine, out of the stock, out of the stem, out of the life-giving portion from the roots, the vine, then the branch, then the fruit. So Jesus is the vine. And the Heavenly Father is the gardener. In verse 2, we're reminded that every branch that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Those who are not connected to Jesus, they don't bear fruit. But the ones who bear fruit, He prunes. There are many who go to church and profess that they follow Jesus. They profess that they know the Lord Jesus as Savior and Lord. But their fruits, their lifestyle, their attitudes, their opinions, by habit, by action, the way they persistently live, though they profess this, I'm a branch, I'm connected to Jesus, there is no evidence of connection to Jesus. For if you're truly connected to Jesus, you bear fruit, you flourish, you grow. And fruitfulness is not something you put out as an effort, it's a result of connection to Jesus Christ. I hope you understand that. Branches are just simply the vehicle through which God designed fruit to be hanging on the tree, or the flower to be blooming on the stem, the branch. Fruitless branches He removes, but fruitful branches He prunes. I don't know any one of us here tonight that would raise our hand and say, yes, sir, give me some more of that good God pruning. It hurts, doesn't it? You wonder why He leaves you in those conditions He leaves you in. You wonder why the circumstances of you're seeking to follow Jesus as best you can and the discipline of the Lord comes in your life and you cannot figure it out. And He uses all kinds of things. Pruning. So we like many of you, have those roses around the house. Pat's brutal on those things. It's pitiful what she does to those roses every year. I feel bad for the rose. I'm not a gardener. I just watch it. But the next year, they're this tall again. And they're down here in the wintertime. Pruning is brutal. But pruning is necessary for fruitfulness. You say, I don't like to be pruned, but that's the evidence that you are fruitful. Pruning leads to fruit. When you're cut off, it means that you never really had a relationship with Jesus. Fruit, you can't force spiritual fruit. It's either there or it's not. You can't fake it. The hypocrite will try, but it doesn't last. It doesn't last. What did Jesus say when the storms come and beat against the house on the sand? It just falls. But the one who hears and does God's word, the house stands. Well, back to our picture here. The fruitful pruned branches receive the word of God and obey God, God's word. Did you see that in verse 3? You're already clean, you're already pruned because of the word which I've spoken. What happens when we submit ourselves to the word of God? What happens when you present yourself before the word of God every day in reading and study and preparation? What happens when you take this book and say, speak to me, O God, from this book, the Lord prunes on you. He shapes your mind. He affects your desires. He changes your will. This is the living Word of God. This is what the Holy Spirit takes, these very words, these powerful words, and they clean us. So how does a man cleanse his way? You remember what Psalm 119 says? By paying attention to every word of God. Your word I've hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Cleanness, purity of soul is connected to what you do with God's word. You know this is my, sorry, it's my old song. Here I am back on it. If all we get done in my days of being here is that a few more of our people find the importance of picking up God's word every day and reading and studying and memorizing and meditating and putting it in their heart, then my labor won't be in vain. You must pick up God's word. For heaven's sakes, you cannot rely upon 1 week at a time somebody teaching you this or your favorite preacher teaching you this on the radio or whoever you pick. You have to do it yourself. You are clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. You're pruned. God uses the word to remind us, wait a minute, I'm going off the path. Wait a minute, I'm thinking thoughts I shouldn't be thinking. You see, the Holy Spirit takes the word of God, He reminds you in your mind, and He affects you, and then by the help and power of the Holy Spirit, you change your mind and your will, and you go in a new direction. And fruitfulness comes. Abiding in Christ Jesus is the source of fruit bearing. Oh, abide in me, verse 4, and I in you. This is the relationship. This is the secret of fruitfulness. It sounds so simple. It is so important. It is not just, Lord, you know, I confess you as Lord. I believe that you are raised from the dead. It is a lifelong walk, connecting, pursuing, following Jesus as your greatest ambition. What is your greatest ambition tonight? What is it that you wish to do more than anything else? It must be first to abide in Christ, to live, to dwell in all that is knowing Jesus, to be with Him, to pay attention to Him, to know what His words say, to speak to Him as our great high priest. Look, abiding in Jesus, our resurrected, ascended, glorious Lord and high priest. We go to Him in times of need to find help at the throne of grace. We go to Him. We abide in Him. We abide in Him for the only life. You can't live the Christian life on your own. It's impossible. You can't maintain the right kind of relationship with God by just wanting to do it. You must have the life source of Jesus Christ by the presence of the Holy Spirit who comes to be in us when we're born again, who continually does this pruning and stirring and shaping and helping us put the old person to death that we used to be so that we are abiding in Him. Abide in me and I in you. You can't bear fruit of yourself unless you abide in the vine. This is the natural way to fruitfulness. We could talk a lot about that. God is glorified when we bear fruit. And fruitfulness proves that you are a disciple of Jesus. Now I want to go to the bottom and talk to you about three areas of fruitfulness that we need to think about. Number one, the fruit of converts. Fruitfulness in ministry. So today, Vacation Bible School is going great. 400 plus kids coming. It's all good. We're having a great time. And Ken sent out a note this afternoon saying that we'd already had 18 boys and girls pray to receive Christ. Is that not a wonderful thing? 18. Isn't that good? It's good. So I want you to look at what Paul says. First of all, I want you to go to John chapter while you're in John. John 4:36. And I want you to see this from Jesus. about the importance of harvest and fruitfulness. This is where Jesus is saying that we pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. In John 4:36, and let me go back up here. Let's go back up. Jesus is talking about what it is that satisfies him. He said, my food, 34, is to do the will of him who sent me. That's what satisfies me, doing God's will. We have to learn to say the same thing. What is it that really satisfies you? Another car? Another job? Different set of friends? Better preacher at the church? A different church? Living somewhere else? What is it that satisfies you? Jesus said, I'm satisfied when I do the will of God. Notice what he says. And accomplish his work. Ah, this is tied to fruitfulness. Don't miss it. Do not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. He's talking about fruitfulness. Now fruit, harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages. I love that. Sometimes we wonder if what we do for the Lord at our jobs, telling people about Jesus and all these people that, you know, put it up in our face and call us names and just think we're crazy, if it's worth it. Oh, look, the harvest is going to happen. Not everybody who hears God's word will respond. Only one of four soils responds, and they all respond in fruitfulness at different levels. Remember all that the Lord's taught us about this. The one who reaps, see, he's working. This is a part of our work. Reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. So today, 18 boys and girls said yes to Jesus, took their first steps to Jesus. We have to obviously talk to them about where they are, what they understand. But the seeds were sown and now some were harvested. Some fruit came. Paul talks a lot about this, and I've given you several verses here. I think I'll read to you the one in Colossians chapter 1, verse 6. You know, why do we do all of this? Why do we come up here? Why do we build these buildings? Why do we go out? Why do we preach? Why do we go on missions? Why do we go around the community? Why do we do all that we do? We do it in order that people might come to know Jesus and that there might be fruitfulness. That's what Jesus was saying also to the disciples, that you might go bear fruit and it will remain. Somebody a long time ago, I've told you my testimony many times, when I was a 9-year-old boy, my parents, my grandparents, I'm one of the lucky ones. Parents, grandparents, everybody dropping seeds into my life as a boy, even though I was a lying, stealing, cheating, disrespectful 9-year-old. Sinner. But all of that seed work, all of that sowing, all of that about the Bible, all of the example of those who were around me that knew Jesus. Finally, the day came and I came to know Jesus. Colossians 1, 6. Let me go back, and he says, we give thanks to God the Father, verse 3, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ and the love with which you have for the saints, because the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. Please notice verse 6, which has come to you, the gospel has come to you, just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. when Todd and the missionaries came back, our missionaries came and talked to us the other night about what happened in India, what happened in Cuba, people coming to know the Lord, whether it's 18 here or 300 or 400 in Cuba at one time, or thousands, or many, many who are coming to know the Lord in Muslim countries, even tonight, the gospel bears fruit. That's why we go and tell. We seed the ground. Some's hard. Some's people are caught up with other distractions. They're not interested. But some good soil receives the seed. And then someone comes along, tells them about Jesus and the harvest. So a lot I could say. The fruit of converts. So we are in 2018, 2,000 years since the Lord Jesus walked on the earth. Think about it. 2,000 years. The gospel is preached in multiple languages all over the world. And the fruit of the gospel continues to go. That's why we go and tell. We're not responsible for the results. We throw the seeds out. Every one of you who seed your yards know how this is. You have some troubled places in your yard that will never seem to grow seed. Stuart and I have had a long-standing battle over trying to grow grass under big trees. But we finally got it done, didn't we, Stuart? But boy, did we sow the seed. So I want you to say, I want to say to you tonight, remember, we go out of here with our seed bag on. That's all we do. Or our harvester. Sometimes we harvest, sometimes we seed. The second thing is very familiar to you all, and as I'm finishing, I want you to be reminded of Galatians 5. These are very familiar words to us. I'll just read them. I don't have to really comment on them. We all know what they say. Now, this is the fruit of Christ-like character. So fruitfulness is first, the work of the gospel brings converts. We make disciples, new disciples. We grow and we find more disciples. We're about that. Second thing is we see character change on the inside, Christ-like character. And this is the fruit of the Spirit. You know these words, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit. What does the Spirit produce in me when the Spirit is present in me, when I'm possessed by the Holy Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is the fruit of the Spirit's presence possessing me, controlling my mind, will, and emotions. When I'm abiding in Christ and I'm hearing God's word and I'm staying close and walking with Him and speaking with Him and talking and staying prayed up and sin out of my life, the fruit of the Spirit just starts to come. This cluster of this fruit just starts to come into my life. And so we talk much about that. But the other is conduct. And in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 11, Paul says this, and I'll go back up and read beginning in verse 9. This is one of Paul's prayers for the church. It's one of my prayers for our church. Somebody asked me, well, how do you pray for our church? What I do is I pray the prayers of Paul that he prayed for the churches, and I repeat them and work through them for our church. Paul said, for God is my witness, verse 8, how I long for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the coming day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So Heavenly Father, tonight, I pray for my friends who are here. I pray for our church, what Paul has said here. That the love of the people of this church will grow more and more in real knowledge and in discernment. Lord, protect our people from those things that would take them away from abiding in Christ and living in joy and going back to the old ways. How I pray that you might help them with real knowledge and discernment to prove things that are excellent. May their lives be characterized, may mine, by excellence, the best of things, by virtue and excellence in my words and in my work and in my marriage and in my family and with my children and grandchildren, excellence in all that I do, in order that I might be sincere and blameless and that we might be sincere and blameless until you come again and be filled with the fruit of righteousness. Fill us tonight, O Lord. Fill us tonight with your Spirit so that we might bear fruit and the fruit remain, so that we might glorify God in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's great to see you all. Hope to see you Sunday. God bless you. And I hope you have a great rest of the evening. Pray for Vacation Bible School the rest of this week. Good to see you again. God bless you.